This evening we want to study the things that the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 12. So we want to read those verses together. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 4 and reading down through verse 12. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. These verses contain some statements that might seem to be a little bit challenging to us, but if we will keep certain things in mind as we examine these passages, we will understand the message that John was revealing to us. Remember that John wrote this letter to Christians in the first century who were being influenced by some people who were commonly called the Gnostics. And in his letter, several times, John identified these people as the Antichrist. Some of them said that Jesus did not come in the flesh. Others said that Jesus was not the Son of God. Well, John showed that both doctrines were wrong. But these people were having quite an influence on the early church, so John wrote this letter to a great extent dealing with the things that they were teaching. But in addition to holding these incorrect views about the Lord, these people believed that a person could live as he pleased and still be in good standing with God. Now, one of their cardinal doctrines that they believed was that all flesh is evil. Well, with that particular doctrine in their minds, it led them to change God's will on some other things, to compromise and to go along with their belief. Well, they believed, because all flesh is evil in their minds, that a person could live as he pleased and still be pleasing to God. Well, John showed that that is not right. So keep in mind that John, in his letter, was dealing with this influence that was quite prevalent in the early church. As a matter of fact, John gave a very strong warning against these very people. Look at chapter 2 and verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. John was very concerned about this influence, and he wrote to help Christians overcome this influence that was having an effect on so many people. Well, last week we looked at the first three verses of chapter 3, and in these opening verses of chapter 3, John wrote about a special blessing, and he wrote about a special responsibility that are given to God's children. He first showed in verse 1 that we are called the children of God because of his love. Now try to keep some of these things in mind as we go through. Everything, I believe, would just fall into place. Although some of these statements, at first appearance, might be just a little bit challenging. But remember in verse 1 of chapter 3, John showed that we're blessed to be called the children of God because of his love. Well, how do we know that God loves us? Look at chapter 4, and let's read verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's how we know that God loves us, because he sent his Son to give himself for our sins. That's a great sacrifice. And, of course, God made that sacrifice by sending his Son. So when John says that we're blessed to be called God's children because of his love, we know that God demonstrated his love when he sent Jesus to die on our behalf. Now, this presents a dilemma. You have to keep in mind the influence that John is dealing with. If Jesus did not come in the flesh, and if he is not the Christ, then could God have shown his love toward us? I don't know about you, but I would not want to be in the shoes of one of these teachers known as the Gnostics. If Jesus did not come in the flesh, and if he was not the Christ, then God could not have shown his love toward us, and consequently, we cannot be his children. Now, that's quite a dilemma. Well, John shows over and over again that Jesus did come in the flesh. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God made that great sacrifice of his Son on our behalf. That's the way he demonstrated his love toward us. And it is because of God's great love that we enjoy the blessing of being called his children. Well, look at verse 2 of chapter 3. We've already covered it last week, but let's be mindful of the fact that, according to this verse, the children of God enjoy a very special blessing. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, or children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's a great blessing that God's children are able to enjoy, because God has shown his love toward us. And we have a very important responsibility, according to verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's the responsibility, that we're to be purified in God's sight. So keep in mind what John has already written. Preferably keep in mind what he's already written in the first two chapters. But especially we need to keep in mind what he wrote in the first three verses of chapter 3. Bottom line is, God's people cannot live as they please and be in good standing with God. Now, that's what the Gnostics believed, but that is not what the Bible teaches. Now, in the verses that we're covering, John made a distinction between two groups of people. He made a distinction between the children of God and the children of the devil. The way that we approach sin will determine whose child we are. That's what John is presenting to us. The way that we approach sin is going to determine whose child we are. Well, to approach sin in the right way, we need to know what it is. We need to understand what sin is. Well, John tells us what sin is. Look at verse 4 again. John showed us in verse 4 that sin is the transgression of the law. Now, many times when the New Testament refers to the law, it's referring to the law of Moses. This particular passage is referring to God's law, whether it's the Old Covenant or the New Covenant. Sin is the transgression of God's law. So my understanding that some translations translate this lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in his writings made an argument for the fact that we are under law, because if there is no law, there can be no sin. But we know that there is sin. And we know that there's sin because there is a law. See, those two go together. Sin is the transgression of God's law. God has revealed to us His will in His Word. He has given us positive instructions, things that He wants us to do. He's also given us some negative instructions. There are some things that we are to avoid. When we transgress God's law, that's sin. Well, these people known as the Gnostics thought that transgressing the law of God was no big deal. Well, John says it is. It is sin. And sin causes separation from God, according to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. You can't live in sin and have good fellowship with God. We've already talked about having fellowship with God from chapters 1 and 2. Well, who was guilty of sin? My Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? All are guilty of sin. What is the penalty for sin? Well, again, my Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. Now I'm glad for the latter part of that verse because it talks about the gift of God being eternal life. But we need to understand what, if we're going to approach sin in the right way, and the way we approach sin is going to determine whose child we are. Well, we certainly want to know how to approach sin correctly, and we want to avoid approaching sin incorrectly. Well, we have to understand what sin is. Sin is the transgression of God's law, or lawlessness. You understand now why some people have no use for the law? Well, the law was given for our benefit. Well, let's look at this matter a little bit more detail. To approach sin in the right way, and by the way, this is going to determine whose child we are. To approach sin in the right way, we have to understand why Jesus came in the flesh as the Son of God. Now, John shows us in these verses that Jesus was manifested for two reasons. Verse 5 says that He was manifested to take away our sins. Verse 8 teaches us that Jesus was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. So John explains to us in these verses why Jesus was manifested. In other words, this is why He came to earth in the flesh as the Son of God. Now, when we understand from these two verses why Jesus came in the flesh, how does God feel when His children transgress His law? Jesus came to take away our sins. Jesus came that He might destroy the works of the devil. And if we persist in sin that Jesus came to take away, or if we persist in the works of the devil that Jesus came to destroy, how does God feel? He does not look with favor upon lawlessness. He gave us His law just as He wants us to have it, and He requires us to keep it. What will motivate us to keep God's law? Well, we love Him because He first loved us. Well, to approach sin correctly, and that's going to determine whose children we are, we have to understand what sin is. We know what it is. It's lawlessness, or the transgression of God's law. To approach sin in the right way, and that determines whose children we are, we must understand why Jesus came in the flesh as the Son of God. Now, John shows us in these verses that God's true children will approach sin in the right way. We know what it is, and we know why Jesus came. We understand the importance of approaching sin in the right way. Well, what are some other details that we need to be mindful of? Now, John tells us in verses 6 and 9 that those who abide in the Lord do not sin. Now, this requires us to do a little bit of study. I said earlier that some of the statements made in these verses might be a little bit challenging, but if we'll just look at a few matters and keep them in mind, we can have a proper understanding. Now, when we say that those who abide in the Lord do not sin, can that mean that we live a life of perfection? Well, it can't mean that. It cannot mean that a Christian never sins because of what we've already covered earlier. Once you understand certain things, you can see how John is just following a pattern. He's dealing with some very important matters, and what he's saying in chapter 3 is based on what he's already revealed in chapters 1 and 2. Look at chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Also verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And now all of a sudden in chapter 3, John says that those who abide in the Lord do not sin. Well, he tells us in chapter 2 at the beginning that he wrote these things so that we might not sin. But then he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So John has already covered the fact that God's children do sin. Now, he's written so that we might avoid sin. He's revealing some important information to help us avoid sin, but we do sin. We're humans, and we give in to temptation, and we transgress the law of God. Thankfully, when we do that, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That means atonement. So now all of a sudden John says that those who abide in the Lord do not sin. Let him tell us again. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. It's important for us to understand what this is dealing with, because when we slip up and make a mistake, we might just give up and lose hope. John was dealing with a continual practice of sin. Look at chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. John was talking about a continual practice of sin or walking in sin. It wasn't a matter of occasionally falling into temptation and giving into that and then transgressing the will of God. He's talking about a continual practice of sin, and those who abide in the Lord don't do that. Those who abide in the Lord avoid a continual practice of sin. Now, John tells us the key to avoiding sin in verse 9. We've already read the first part. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, listen to this. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. John talks about God's seed remaining in his children. Well, what is God's seed? In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, when Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower, He said, the seed is the word of God. A passage that we like to mention quite often is Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Those who have God's seed remaining in them, that is God's word, they've allowed it to go into their hearts and allowed it to bear fruit, will avoid a continual practice of sin. Now that's what John is teaching us. So God's true children approach sin correctly. We abide in the Lord and we have his seed remaining in us. His seed is the word of God. That way we know what is right and we know what is wrong, so that we can do that which pleases God and avoid that which displeases him. So God's true children, in addition to avoiding sin, practice righteousness. Look at verse 7 again. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So to approach sin in the right way, we must have the Lord's word abiding in us and remaining in us, and we are to practice righteousness, or do that which is right according to God's will. Well, what about the devil's children? John says in verse 8 that the children of the devil commit sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil. I can't help but think about what Jesus said in John 8 and verse 44. Remember, he was in the temple and he had called upon the people there to believe on him, and many of them did. And then he said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John 8 verses 31 and 32. People did not like it when Jesus implied that they were not free. They began to argue with him. And they claimed that Abraham was their father. They thought that that made them in good standing with God. Well, Jesus identified their father. And let's notice what he said in John 8 in verse 44. Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Our Lord was pretty much to the point, wasn't he? He identified Satan as the father of the people he was dealing with. These people rejected Jesus. They did not receive his word, and he identified their spiritual father, and that's Satan. Now, John, many years later, 1 John chapter 3, is identifying the devil's children. He said the children of the devil commit sin, just like Jesus taught in John 8 and verse 44. Furthermore, the children of the devil do not practice righteousness, and they do not love the brethren. Look at verse 10 again. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So the children of the devil practice sin. And the children of the devil do not practice righteousness, and they do not love the brethren. Now, John is teaching us how to approach sin in the right way, because the way we approach sin is going to determine whose children we are. Well, we talked about the true children of God and the way that they approach sin, and we've talked about the children of the devil and the way they approach sin. Now, John gave an illustration from the Old Testament. He referred to Cain and Abel. And he was illustrating these principles that he was teaching. You remember the story of Cain and Abel. We refer to it quite often. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Remember, they're the sons of Adam and Eve. Let's start at verse 1 of Genesis 4. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Now that's the record in Genesis chapter 4. John refers to what happened in his letter as he was identifying the children of the devil. Now, when you think about Cain and Abel, which one was a child of God? Which one was a child of the devil? Well, you can see it. And John used that from Old Testament history as an illustration when he was making his point about how we are identified as God's true children. Abel showed that he was a child of God by his actions. He did what God required of him. Cain rebelled. He showed that he was a child of the devil. He did what he wanted to do. Now, Abel did what he did by faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11. So, God's true children approach sin in the right way. We know how God wants us to approach it, and we know how to avoid it. Well, remember, these people known as the Gnostics were actually influencing Christians to be children of the devil. Now, I don't believe for one moment that they went around saying, let us show you how to be Satan's children. I don't believe that for a moment. But they were teaching people that Jesus did not come in the flesh and that Jesus was not the Christ. They also taught people that they could live as they pleased and still be in good standing with God. Now, in essence, what's the end result of their teaching? They were leading people to be children of the devil. John was very much concerned about the spiritual welfare of people, his fellow Christians in the first century, and even us today. He confronted these people, and he wrote what we need to hear, what we need to read, what we need to study, what we need to believe, and what we need to hide in our hearts. God's true children understand what sin is. God's true children have his seed remaining and abiding in them. The seed is the word of God that will lead us to avoid that which is wrong. It will lead us to do that which is right. And we need to approach sin in the right way. Well, thank God that Jesus came in the flesh to take away our sins. And we have to understand that God has a code of conduct for his true children. These verses show us that we must avoid making a practice of sinning or transgressing God's will, and we must practice righteousness. As you study these things and go through the letter, you can see how John is basing what he's saying on what he's already covered. Well, I always enjoy studying the writings of John. I try to imagine John actually sitting and teaching, maybe standing, I don't know, But he began his letter by saying, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have handled of the word of life. John knew Jesus personally. He heard him, he saw him, and he touched him. And I try to keep in mind when I'm studying his writings, this is coming from someone who actually knew the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I find that to be very comforting and very encouraging. John is known as the Apostle of Love. But he had enough love in his heart that he withstood that which is false. He was standing up against the influence of these people known as the Gnostics. He identified them as the Antichrist. He warned his fellow Christians against them. And in these verses we just covered, he showed what their teaching will lead to. It will lead people to be children of the devil and not children of God. Well, John presents teaching that will lead us to be children of God. We need to listen to him. And of course, we need to avoid listening to someone who teaches that which is false.